If you would like a free newsletter on this or other subjects, just give us a call at Christian Answers. The phone number is area code 512-218-8022. That's 512-218-8022. Or you could email us at cdebater@aol.com. That's cdebater@aol.com. Thank you.
What I want to do today is kind of pick up more or less where I left off from previous shows. I was going through many of the old Watchtower literature, their books. I've gone through this book, The Divine Plan of the Ages, written by Charles Taz Russell. In here you've got the pyramids themselves that fold out, where you can see how he predicts the end of the world based on pyramids. Divine Plan of the Ages, and of course here is another book by Russell. It's The Time is at Hand, from his Studies in the Scriptures series. And we went into how he predicts 1914 as the end of the world based on reliable Bible chronology. And we were getting into there's a gap between when we did the first four shows and these last four. And I believe in a previous show I had gone through another book that was printed by the presidents of the Watchtower, which the second one was called J.F. Rutherford, and known as Judge Rutherford. And he wrote this book, Millions Now Living Will Never Die. And of course, in this book, which is published by the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, he predicted in pages 88, 89, 90 that 1925 would be the end of the world. And it's all documented in their book, 1925. So basically, the Jehovah's Witnesses, as we documented in previous programs, have a bad habit of predicting the end of the world and getting all this, the fever pitch excitement going about the end of the world, and join up now and don't get wiped out at Armageddon. But then suddenly the world doesn't end, and they keep coming up with different dates and new dates. In fact, we have lots of literature available for anyone that wants to call or write, documenting in detail all the specific dates that Jehovah's Witnesses have come up with to predict the end of the world, from the 1874 to the 1878 to the 1914, 1915, 1916, 1918, 1925. You can get into 1941, you can get into 1954, and you can also get into the year 1975. Now, before I go on, I'm trying to recall if I've covered this before, and I don't believe in our previous programs I have covered their specific prophecies as given about 1975, for instance. And let me just bring out some of this literature, since it's all about me. This is actual Watchtower literature, actual Jehovah's Witness literature. It's not something I wrote or created. This is their own material. And so what I'm going to do is go ahead and grab that material, and since we're talking about false dates and things. Right here I have, of course, this is one of their books. It says The Watchtower, 1968. This is one of their yearbooks. And what I'm going to do in here is open it up and see if I can find, here, what I'm looking for. And yes, I have found what I'm looking for. Move this marker. They have here all the Watchtower magazines that the Jehovah's Witnesses published in 1968. And in their August 15th, 1968 Watchtower, pages 494 and 495, they have a very interesting article. In here, it says, "Why are you looking?" Let me see if I can get that lined up for you a little bit better. Yeah, there we go. "Why are you looking forward to 1975? And all through here, They argue about these dates. October 1st, 607 BCE was obviously tied to the ending, that is, with the fall of Babylon in 539 BCE. So with 607 BCE as dependently fixed. Basically, all I'm saying is they give all these dates, all these calculations all through here as to how they're going to predict the end of the world. They bring in all these other dates, 997 BCE. They get into some Bible historical events all through here. I'm just trying to save time for the sake of time. I get into this thing back here on page 498. It says 6,000 years from Adam's creation. And they give the exact dates, birth of Seth, Enosh, Kenan, and all the different sons born in the generations. All this stuff adds up. King Tut's even thrown in here. They start adding up dates. 4,026 is added to 1,968, allowing for the lack of a 0 year between CE and BCE. One gets a total of 5,993 years. Okay, well, basically, all this is said so you can get a date. What is this date that Jehovah's Witnesses want you to believe in? Well, down here it says, that means in the fall of the year, 1975, a little over 7 years from now, and remember this is written in 1968, and not in 1997, as would be the case if Usher's figures were correct, they had that in parentheses, it will be 6,000 years from the creation of Adam, the father of all mankind, exclamation point. Whoa! And then what does it say right down here? Adam created at close of sixth day. Are we to assume from this study that the Battle of Armageddon will be all over by the autumn of 1975 and a long look for a thousand-year reign of Christ will begin by then? They say possibly, over and over again, reiterating the fact that 1975 is a very important year that we should be looking forward to. And with that said, and of course we did see the word possibly. I know some Jehovah's Witnesses say, well, it's possibly. But if you get into some of the kingdom ministries type of literature they have, I think it's called kingdom ministry literatures, they say exactly it will be 1975. They say men and women are selling their homes and getting ready for the great day of God Almighty and the Battle of Armageddon. Now, just to back this up a little bit more, I want to emphasize the fact that I've got a book here. Here it is. Life Everlasting in Freedom of the Sons of God. This is the book that gives us a specific date for 1975. Now, we saw the Watchtower magazine was saying this time, but we must realize that it's not just the magazine saying it. It's all their literature. It's spread throughout. The Watchtower Bible and Tract Society puts out much literature besides their magazine. And so it only makes sense that they'd be talking about this end of the world date, 1975, and other literature they published. And this is one of their books, Life Everlasting in Freedom of the Sons of God. If we look in here on page 29 and 30, which I have right here, let's see what it says here. According to this trustworthy Bible chronology, 6,000 years from man's creation will end in 1975, and the seventh period of 1,000 years of human history will begin in the fall of 1975 CE. Now remember, all they're doing in this book is like they were doing in a Watchtower magazine that we looked at a minute ago. They're figuring out all these dates and adding up chronologies and times and all that kind of stuff. And they come up with this 1975 date. And then, of course, it goes down here. It says, so in not many years within our own generation, we are reaching what Jehovah God could view as the seventh day of man's existence. And then on the next page, how appropriate it would be for Jehovah God to make of this coming seventh period of 1,000 years a Sabbath period of rest and release, a great jubilee, Sabbath for the proclaiming of liberty throughout the earth to all its inhabitants. And then it goes on to talk about all this great stuff and living on, you know, you can live in paradise on earth. And here once again is all their chronology, dates and times and how they figure out this 1975 thing. Well, this book says point blank 1975, according to reliable Bible chronology. And there's many other books the Watchtowers put out. Like there's a book they put out, and I think I've got it laying here somewhere, but it'd take me too long to find it. But on page 51 of that book, they predict with no qualifying statements whatsoever, 1975's the year. They don't say possibly or perhaps or anything like that. Much like this book, they just say 1975's it. And the name of that book is God's Eternal Purpose. Now plan, 1974 edition, the year before 1975, that book came out by the Watchtower, and it predicted 1975 as the end of the world. Now what's funny is, we all know that 1975 came and went, and of course, we're still here. And 27% of Jehovah's Witnesses voted with their feet in 1976 and late 75, voted with their feet and left the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. And why did they leave? Because the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society predicted the wrong date. They said the end of the world 1975, they're supposed to be Jehovah's only channel of communication, yet it didn't come to pass. It didn't come to pass any more than when they predicted 1925, or when they predicted 1918, 1916, 1915, 1914. 1874. What happens with false prophets? False prophets have a very nasty tendency to make false prophecies. And as I've mentioned in previous shows, Deuteronomy 18, verses 21 and following, says that if a man presumes to speak for God, and what he says does not come to pass, you're to have no respect for him whatsoever. He is not a prophet of God, and you're just a treat him as just some false prophet. He's have no respect at all. So that's the situation we find the Jehovah's Witnesses are in. They predicted dates, they stated it in black and white in their books, and it didn't come to pass. Now, when you ask a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses about this, most of them that have been in there a long time, at least were Jehovah's Witnesses 75, a lot of them will tell you, well, we never said anything about 1975. It's not true, and they're making it up and all these kind of things. Well, it's interesting that you get this kind of reaction. And a lot of times they'll tell you other interesting things, but they're simply following what the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society would have their followers to tell you. And what is that? Well, let me grab another one of their books here to aid me in this discussion. The book here is called, this is a Watchtower book called Aid to Bible Understanding. And this is a very interesting book because this is written by back in the 60s by three Jehovah's Witnesses. I know one of them was Raymond France. I believe now all three of the high-ranking Jehovah's Witnesses that wrote this book, Aid to Bible Understanding, are no longer with the Jehovah's Witnesses. I know the lead writer, Raymond Franz, who was a cousin of the longtime president of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, Frederick Franz, who was on the governing board of Jehovah's Witnesses. That's the elite of the elite of Jehovah's Witnesses. But the three men that wrote this book for the Watchtower are no longer associated with it. But this book is supposed to be kind of a answer all your questions type of dictionary. It's in alphabetical order. You can look up subjects, and then it will tell you what you need to know according to God's theocratical organization. Now, I mentioned Raymond Franz a minute ago. Well, he got disfellowshipped. He got thrown out of Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, this is one of the head men of the Jehovah's Witnesses on the governing board of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society in this place over here in Brooklyn, New York. Okay, this is one of the head honchos that's supposed to be one of the elite, one of the 144,000 that actually gets to go to heaven, where the rest of the Jehovah's Witnesses have to stay here on the earth. But anyway, I thought I'd mention in passing that the man that was primarily responsible for this book, he got thrown out, but he's now come out with a book called Crisis of Conscience. And I've recommended this to many Jehovah's Witnesses that were still Jehovah's Witnesses that check it out. And of course, they always deny that they're going to look it, but then they go to a Christian bookstore or some bookstore to get their hands on it. Let's see, who is it published by? It's not on the outside. It's published by Commentary Press out of Atlanta, Georgia. And date on it's 1983. And of course, in the inside cover, it says Raymond Franz, former member of the governing body of Jehovah's Witnesses. And in here, he tells you he's got photostatic copies of actual Watchtower magazines, literature. He talks all about the false prophecies, the false dates, how the governing body votes on what doctrine they should adopt. A lot of times they're not sure, so they just vote on it. It's interesting that Jehovah's Witnesses aren't allowed to vote in elections, but I guess it's all right for the governing body to vote on what the doctrine that we're going to believe today. But it's all in here. It gives you the inside story on how the head honchos of Jehovah's Witnesses operate. And so this has been a very fascinating book, very informative. And I personally know of several Jehovah's Witnesses who have left the Watchtower Bottom of Tract Society just by reading this book. And so something to think about if you want some really inside information on Jehovah's Witnesses, written by a man who was right at the top, considered one of the anointed class, one of the men that was going to be right up there sitting next to Jesus Christ, reigning and ruling with him according to Watchtower Bible Tract Society doctrines. Well, anyway, time's starting to run short on me. Let me get back to the subject then. I brought up this book, Aid to Bible Understanding, published by the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. Like I said, one of the writers of it was Raymond Franz, who I just mentioned. Well, it's all in alphabetical order, but what I like to do is go to page 1060 of this book. Let me go over here. Let me find page 1060 and look up a certain definition. I have found it. They've got a definition of the word lie. What does a lie mean, according to the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society? Well, if you read this, and I'll just read it here, it says, the opposite of truth. Lying generally involves saying something false to a person who is entitled to know the truth and doing so with the intent to deceive or to injure him or another person. Okay, so, and it goes on. But they say basically lying is not telling the truth to someone who's entitled to it. Okay? Who determines who's entitled to it? Now, time's running on me here. We've got plenty of literature and tracts on this. We've got a little tract here called Theocratic War Strategy or Lying to the Public. It tells you how the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, according to their own writings, sanctions Jehovah's Witnesses not to tell the truth to people who they consider to be opposers, evil slaves, and so forth, ex-Jehovah's Witnesses, people who are being shunned. They consider certain people not entitled to know the truth. So when you can ask a Jehovah's Witness about the year 1975 or all these other false dates they predicted, 1914, so forth, they can deny it even if they know it's true, because the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society has said that lying is okay for them as long as you're not telling a lie to someone who's entitled to know the truth. But if they think you're not entitled to know the truth, then they won't tell it to you. And so that gives you a little background now to, as we analyze the stuff on Jehovah's Witnesses, why they suppress this information, why they won't tell their own people a lot about the history and about certain teachings of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. I'm going to hold up an assortment of Watchtower literature. These are all Watchtower and Awake magazines published by the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. These are actual Jehovah's Witness books. I had nothing to do with printing them. It's their stuff. And so what we're going to do is take a little journey through these things to see how reliable this material is. And so that's the purpose today, to see if the Watchtower really stands up to the test. And what I want to do first is start with this first one right on the top. Watchtower, April 1st, 1972. And down here, you are my witnesses, saith Jehovah, Isaiah 43, verse 12. Now, what I'm going to do is grab this first one. I'll leave the rest here and go into this. And we're going to take a look at page 197 and find out a few things from what the Watchtower tells us. Here's the page. It says, they shall know that a prophet was among them. Now we want to do what we want to do now, according to Jehovah's Witnesses, find out what that, who that prophet is. And reading down in here, it says, talking about God, it says, he had a prophet to warn them. This prophet was not one man, but was a body of men and women. It was the small group of footstep followers of Jesus Christ, known at that time as International Bible Students. Now, see, when the Watchtower started back with that Charles Taz Russell guy I showed you a few minutes ago on a chart board back in the 1800s, they were known as International Bible Students. And then they changed their name over time. I think it was in 1931 at a Watchtower convention. They changed their name to Jehovah's Witnesses. But they used to be known as International Bible Students before they adopted also the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society name. So anyway, so they're claiming that this prophet is, it was a small group of footstep followers of Jesus Christ, known at that time as International Bible Students. Today they are known as Jehovah's Christian Witnesses. They are still proclaiming a warning and have been joined and assisted in their commission work by hundreds of thousands of persons who have listened to their message with belief. Of course, it is easy to say that this group acts as a prophet of God. It is another thing to prove it. The only way that this can be done is to review the record. What does it show? Okay, that seems fair enough to us guys, right? I mean, they said it. They say they're the prophet, and they're the small footstep followers of Jesus Christ, formerly known as International Bible Students, And it's easy to claim it, but it's another to prove it. So what you have to do to find out if they're really the prophet of God or not is to review the record. Well, we're going to take them up on that challenge today and review the record. I just happen to have quite a few records right here. Of course, they don't play on a stereo phonograph, but they'll play for video, and that's what we're going to do today. We're going to take a look first at, I'm just going to work through these things a little bit and see what we can find out. I would like to say a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses, they get on people, you know, on my case, people like me, and they get on my case because, oh, that guy's persecuting us. He's an opposer. He's an evil slave. He's terrible. He's persecuting us. And I'm not persecuting anybody. I'm simply here trying to let some truth be known and let people know that there's material out there for people to get their hands on to see whether these guys are really telling the truth or not. I'm not persecuting them. You might look at me as sort of the religious better bureau, better business bureau man. You know, if I know there's a shark out there that's trying to rip you off at a used car lot, and I don't sit there and tell you that, hey, this guy's going to rip you off if you buy a used car from that guy. You know, if I don't tell you that, then what kind of guy am I? I'm almost as bad, and I know he's a crook. I'm almost as bad as a used car salesman because I'm not warning you that this guy's going to rip you off. Well, how can I be persecuting anybody when I'm simply reviewing the record, looking at their own material? Now, with that said, I'd also like to say here in this particular Watch, this Awake magazine, which is their other major magazine, this is from January 22nd, 1983. Excuse me. It says on pages 13 and 14, let me just flip over there for all you people who think I'm some kind of murderous and vicious persecutor, I find here on page 13 that, lo and behold, a Watchtower is attacking other people's religions. Now, are they persecutors or what? It says up here, a Methodist bishop, Melvin E. Wheatley Jr., favors the appointment of an avowed homosexual minister. Another one, an embarrassed Vatican had to move to silence an outspoken Roman Catholic priest, an avowed homosexual who allegedly condones homosexual activity by priests. And it goes on about the United Church of Christ. And it says, blatant violations of Bible standards? Obviously. Yet people are hardly stampeding from their churches or demanding reform. And he talks about degradation, and it shows a picture of a TV evangelist grabbing this guy. In this picture, he's got to reach for his wallet to hand money out to these guys. And it goes on about what a bunch of crumb bums all these other religions are, the different religions, just all through here. It gets after Oral Roberts down in here, Rex Humbard, other denominations, and it says it's nothing but vice-ridden religion and politics. Oh, that's terrible. Well, let me ask you, are the Jehovah's Witnesses persecuting these other religions? I hardly think not. They're simply trying to point out what they perceive to be errors in these other religions. But what's wrong with someone looking at their religion? They look at everybody else's religion. Why can't someone come along and analyze their religion to see if they're telling the truth? That's all I'm doing. I mean, you know, give me a break. So anyway, that said, and I know that's a major Jehovah's Witness defense. Oh, he's persecuting, he's an opposer. But all I'm doing is what the Jehovah's Witnesses have asked me to do, review the record. And after all, they criticize other religions. Why can't I come along and do, you know, we don't want a double standard here. We're just trying to get at the truth. That's all we're trying to do. There's no persecution intended. We're reviewing the record as we were asked to do. Okay, now, we got a watchtower here, January 15, 1974. Now we're going to take a look at page 35, and we definitely want to know what's happening here. We're reviewing the record. Let me just flip over here. These pages don't turn too good. Oh, wow, it was right up front. Okay, here's the page. I don't know how well a camera can get it on that, but it says up here, can you be true to God, yet hide the facts? Heaven forbid, we don't want to hide any facts here. We want to take a look at the facts and come to a valid conclusion. Now, it says all through here, it shows a minister. Here in this picture, it shows a priest, and he's taking all kinds of, yet hide the facts. Heaven forbid, we don't want to hide any facts here. We want to take a look at the facts and come to a valid conclusion. Now, it says all through here, it shows a minister, here in this picture, it shows a priest, and he's taking all kinds of notes here. It says materialism, fraud, immorality, cheating, disregard for Bible standards, and he's sweeping it all under the rug. You see this priest? And he's saying, and over here, it says, would you rather have the truth covered over, or do you want to know the facts? When all through here it talks about evildoers hide the facts and the truth, and but if you really want to know, you've got to uncover the facts and learn the truth. So we've got the standard right here from the Watchtower itself. As I said, January 15th, 1974, and this is the real McCoy here. This isn't some photocopy or anything. This is their own book. Okay, so we don't want to hide facts. We want to review the record. We want to get at the situation at hand. We've already looked at the Watchtower says they're the prophet. The Jehovah's Witnesses are the prophet of God. Let's look at this one. Let's look at the March 15, 1972 Watchtower. We'll look at pages 189 and 90, going back here. Back here on page 189, it says, who was willing to undertake this monumental task as Jehovah's servant? Was there anyone to whom Jehovah's heavenly chariot would roll up and whom it would confront? More accurately, was there any group on whom Jehovah would be willing to bestow the commission to speak as a prophet in his name, as was done toward Ezekiel back there in 613 BCE? What were the qualifications? Certainly such a messenger or servant group would have to be made up of persons who would who had not been defiled with blood guilt, as had Christendom and the rest of Babylon the Great, the world empire of false religion, by sharing in carnal warfare. Who would they be? And it goes on and all about this, Jehovah's prophet. And the next page, it says, for this reason, forthcoming issues of the Watchtower will further discuss the identity and work of Jehovah's commissioned messenger as revealed in his vision to Ezekiel. And it says the prophet will be revealed. And because time's running out, I'll tell you in the next edition, you can believe me, it's there, you just get a copy of it. The next edition, they said they're the prophet. The Jehovah's Witnesses are the prophet, just like Ezekiel. So, with that said, I could also go into other things like the August 15, 1950 Watchtower. I'm running out of time here. I want to get into some interesting points. I won't go into detail on all this, so I hope you believe me, but we've got their old material. They tried to destroy a lot of this stuff, but they couldn't get rid of it all, so, you know, what can I say? But here they're inviting investigation, and this Watchtower, the August 15, 1950, they invite investigation of their claims and doctrines so that we're only doing what they say to do. It's very hypocritical that the Jehovah's Witnesses, and I know they do this, will not even look at their own literature because they don't want to know what it says. They don't want to know what it teaches. But all we're doing is what they said to do. Now, if you don't investigate the watchtowers to find out if it's true or not, then you're violating what the magazines have been telling you to do. Okay. Now, let's go into some of these watchtowers. Here's the May 1st, 1968 watchtower. It says on page 271, it's talking about the end. Now, we looked at one of the other ones in a previous show about 1975, but we hadn't looked at this one. And, of course, on this page here, it says, making wise use of the remaining time. So there's only some remaining time left. And as we go to the other side of it, look on page 271, it's telling you down here, since it was also Jehovah's purpose for man to multiply and fill the earth, it is logical that he would create Eve soon after Adam, perhaps just a few weeks or months later in the same year, 4026 BCE. After her creation, God's rest day, the seventh day, immediately followed. So Eve's created here, okay? So, what does that mean? Then you get in all those calculations from the autumn of first CE, that's first year since Christ, to the autumn of 1967 is a total of 1,966 years, adding 4,025 and 1, and 1,966, we get 5,992 years from the autumn of 4,026 BCE. You can tell they're really big on dates. And as I mentioned in previous shows, Jehovah's Witnesses arrived at these key dates from taking measurements of the pyramids in Egypt, particularly the Great Pyramid of Egypt, taking those measurements and then coming up with the date 1914. And then their whole system of end time prophecies built on the pyramids in Egypt. Now, if you don't believe me, go back and check the earlier shows. We went into that in detail. I don't have time here. But as you can see, all this crazy stuff about all these dates, they end up here as they go. Thus, 8 years remain to account for a full 6,000 years of the seventh day. 8 years from the autumn of 1967 would bring us to the autumn of 1975, fully 6,000 years into God's seventh day, His rest day. What that means is the end of the world. It'll be you will live on earth, in paradise on earth, and all of wicked people will be destroyed at the great day of God Almighty, destroyed at Armageddon, annihilated. And that's really what this watchtower is saying. And this is a different one than the one we went into from the previous shows. But here you have it again, same old stuff, end of the world, remaining time, look out, Eve's created, it's all set, 8 years from 1967, 1975, that's it. You know, the world's going to end. We're all in a heap of trouble. Okay, let's take another look at this. Okay, here's another Awake magazine, October 8th, 1968. And it says, is it later than you think? Is time running out for this generation? What will the 1970s bring? Okay, well, that's very interesting. What will they bring? Let's take a look in here, pages 14 and 15. And not to belabor the point too much, but I think we're getting into it pretty clearly here. You can see, if the camera can zoom in on this, we'll try camera two there. But once again, it's all that same stuff I just read to you from the other book, the other magazine. They're about the 426 BCE, the one, all these years, adds up to this. And then on the other side of the page, they've got the, let me get it lined up there. They've got all the chronology, the whole bit, 6,000 years. 1975, end of 6,000 years. And of course, they tell you all about it down here in this text below, but they say it quite in a cavalier way. 75 is the end. And of course, when the end comes on the next page here, we get that. You see, 75, they show all these buildings like the Washington, D.C., churches which represent all the false religion in Babylon. Fire coming down from heaven, and everything's destroyed in 1975. So, and then, of course, beautiful land and everything on the next page, what it'll be like after that. So, you know, What can we say about that? Well, let's keep taking some more looks. October 15th, 1974, Watchtower. God's purpose succeeds, human plans failing. Well, October 15th, huh, that's getting a little close now, 75, isn't it? They're starting to get near that date. They've been prophesying since the 60s and way back beyond. It's starting to get right on top of us. So what do they have to say now as we get closer to the date? Let's take a look on page 635. Over here on page 635, take a look. It says up here, the publications of Jehovah's Witnesses have shown that, according to Bible chronology, it appears that 6,000 years of man's existence will be completed in the mid-1970s. Up here, the publications of Jehovah's Witnesses have shown that, according to Bible chronology, it appears that 6,000 years of man's existence will be completed in the mid-1970s. Uh-oh, we have something here that's we haven't seen before. It's a deadly word. It says, but these publications have never said that the world's end would come then. Oh, I didn't know. Yeah, they just showed pictures of all these buildings being destroyed by flames coming from heaven. But we'll forget about that for now. But anyway, nevertheless, there has been considerable individual speculation on the matter. Individual speculation about the matter. I thought they were publishing this by the millions and sending it out all over the world. It seemed like there's more than just individual speculation here. It looked like it was speculation coming right from the top, if we've been following along with this stuff. Anyway, so the assembly presentation, why we have not been told that day and hour, was very timely. It emphasized that we do not know the exact time when God will bring the end. All we know is that the end will come within the generation that sees fulfilled on it the sign that Jesus Christ said would then be in evidence. And see, now they go back to that 1914 date. Right down here it says, all indications are that the fulfillment of the sign began in 1914. See, so that goes back to that date they predicted by using pyramids. They're prophesying the end of the world will become within a generation of those that saw the year 1914. But anyway, you can see already they're trying to back off from their date. Now, this is kind of wishy-washy, if you ask me, about Jehovah's channel of communication. You know, it seems like he's having a little trouble getting his dates right and then kind of changing up the truth at the same time. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, I can see now I'm running down to just a few moments left. I don't have time to go into all the stuff, but when you get into all the different books and literature that they have, I've got it strewn all about me here, too much to show you, that I don't have time to get into it all, but you can see already that already in 1975 they backed off from the date with their other literature. They started to say, well, some people got their hopes up about this date, but we know that it really didn't work out, and like I said before, 27% of all Jehovah's Witnesses left the Jehovah's Witnesses after 1975 because of the false dates, all the false hopes and predictions, proving that it's not truly of God. Their doctrines, their teachings, things that they say just didn't work out. And with time running out on me, I want to just kind of digress from the subject a moment here, and I want to tell you some things that are kind of interesting about Jehovah's Witnesses. I've got plenty of watchtowers to go through here yet, but I'll have to save that for another show along with some other literature, and really have to go through it speedily. In fact, I'll probably summarize a lot of the material as I hold it up to the camera without really reading it in detail like I have in past shows, simply to get more of the material into the program. Well, with that said, here we go. Almost lost my questions here. I've got some questions that I would like to get on videotape for the sake of the audience. Did you know these watchtowers are filled with questions. They tell you some stuff, and always at the bottom, see, I can flip to any old page, and right down at the bottom of any old page there's some questions they ask that relate back into the material you just read. It's Jehovah's Witnesses are always asking questions. That's throughout all our literature. You know, they say some stuff and then you repeat it back like a parrot. Well, I want to tell you some questions that if a Jehovah's Witnesses were to ask these questions, they would get thrown out of Jehovah's Witnesses immediately. There are some questions that Jehovah's Witnesses can ask, and if they ask these questions, they can be thrown out. So here's some questions that Jehovah's Witnesses cannot ask. With time flying, I'm going to have to make it quick. Okay, let me just read them off here, and just remember these, because if Jehovah's Witnesses ask these questions, they can be disfellowshipped and thrown out of Jehovah's Witnesses. Okay, one, what did the Watchtower actually predict about 1975? Jehovah's Witnesses, don't ask that question to your elders or you'll be in a lot of trouble. Two, why did the society require witnesses in Maui, that's an African nation, to face violent abuse rather than buy a card from the government body, while at the same time the society allowed the witnesses in Mexico to bribe government officials into issuing false military training cards? See, in Maui, the Jehovah's Witness wouldn't allow the Jehovah's Witnesses in that country to bribe the officials to get out of military service, get their cards, and so they suffered terrible persecution. But in Mexico, they let them bribe the officials and get fake military cards so they could get out of that military service, because they don't believe in military service and pacifism, stuff like that. So you can ask that question and then get you a heap of trouble with Jehovah's Witnesses. Okay, also, three, why was the San Diego mansion called Bessarine purchased for the resurrected princes, but was later sold, and before that given to one of the Watchtower presidents to live in? You don't want to ask that question. Four, why did the society under two presidents use the Great Pyramid to come up with the date 1914, as I've mentioned before? Why did the Watchtower literature for many decades teach that Jehovah God was a being who resided on the star Alcyon in the Pleiades star system? Now that gets me to next show. I've run out of time here. I've still got three questions. We'll save those for next time as well. But that gets me back to where I left off after episode number four, when I was about to tell you about angels and strange teachings of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. We'll get into that in the next program. So please stay tuned for that. And in the meantime, please call our numbers that have been appearing on the screen right at the end of the address. We'll be glad to send you information.
Check out our websites, BibleQuery.org. This site answers 7,700 Bible questions. HistoryCart.com. This site reveals early church history and doctrine, proving Roman Catholicism is not historically or doctrinally viable. MuslimHope.com. This site is a classic refutation of Islam, a counterfeit religion created by Muhammad. Free newsletters are also available.